smile in other clouds are far beyond him. The glass reflects my smile. Lifting up lines and all the lashes round the mad room.
Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and I left my music behind. So I had a CD of my son, Liam, which he recorded 12 years ago when he was 18 and just in his room. He wrote the song too, and it's out in the open. So pretty cool. All right, welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you very, very much for joining me today. We have some fantastic talks lined up for the next couple of months, and Marian Tate Ministry, that's Peter and Olga Cornwall, who record all of the speakers at all of the conventions. And by the way, the Eucharistic Convention is coming up about some 12th of July, so keep that in your calendar. The Eucharistic Conventions are fantastic. It's at Sacred Heart this year, so go online and find out all the details. But anyway, in 2000, Tony Zuniga, he's a Mexican from Philadelphia, and he came over and he gave two absolutely brilliant talks. They've always stuck with me. I got the CDs, I played them until they just virtually fell apart. So I asked Olga if she had the master and if she could find his two talks, which she has done. So you are in for a treat. This talk is called You Were Made for Greatness, Why Settle for Anything Less?
Good evening. Or he says, good morning, good afternoon. Where am I? Who am I? How many of you here were here last night? And I see a show of hands. Well, you can go home. The rest of you can stay. No, I'm just kidding. Let me, before I start, I promised a friend of yours and a friend of mine that I have to say this. But 7 years ago, I was lecturing in Ohio, and a priest, a legionnaire of Christ priest, came up to me and said, Tony, you really touched me. He says, I'm going to make all the arrangements possible to send you to New Zealand. I said, New Zealand? I said, where's New Zealand? He said, near Australia. I said, that's on the other side of the world. He says, that's right. But I think God and the Blessed Mother need you there, Tony. I said, go ahead, Father, pray about it. 7 years later, Seven years later, I was speaking in the same place, and a young man comes up to me and says, Tony, you really touched me. I'm going to make arrangements to send you to New Zealand. I said, where have I heard that before? And he said, I'm serious. I'm going to do something about it. And before I knew it, I'm getting emails and faxes and phone calls from John Porteous and Bill Moore. And all of a sudden, I'm here. And that young man wants to say hello to you. His name was Joe Mourner. You remember him last year, those of you who are here. And he says he loves you, he misses you, and he's going to do everything possible to be back. Whether you invite him or not, he's coming back. So get ready for him. Let me start out by sharing a story that relates to you. It happened 15 years ago, but this definitely relates to all of you. And I hope you will remember it, not just during these 2 days of the convention, but for the rest of your lives. 15 years ago, I was invited by a big, large, charismatic group in Wilmington, Delaware, the state of Delaware. For those of you who are not familiar with the United States, Delaware is between Philadelphia, where we live, and Washington, D.C. They scheduled me for a Saturday morning. And we had no idea how many people would show up. Normally Saturdays, people go shopping or they sleep late or they clean the house. But 400 people showed up. And the title of my lecture was Miracles and Why I Believe in Them. Just as I'm being introduced, I was standing next to the podium, and the guy in charge of the scheduling me, he was introducing me when somebody taps me on the shoulder. So I turned around, and it was a beautiful young lady about 30 years old. And she says, excuse me, Mr. Zuniga, but do you allow children to listen to you? So I don't care who listens to me. Why? He says, can you wait? Don't talk until I go get my son. I want my six-year-old son to listen to every word you have to say. I says, I'm getting ready to go on. I live right across the street from the church. I'll be back. So she dashes out, and 30 seconds later, she's sitting in the front row. So I began my talk. I said a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And then this is what I said, and this is what's going to relate to you. I said, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Now I want you to do me a favor. As a matter of fact, I want you to do yourselves a favor. I want you to forget about tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Seriously. As a matter of fact, there is no evening. The only time we have is right now, this moment of precious moment of now that God has given us to be together. Don't be thinking about what you're going to do later, because it's not even here. Some of you perhaps are going to go shopping. Some of you are worried about what you're going to wear to church tomorrow on Sunday. Some of you are concerned about your job on Monday. He said, we haven't even left Saturday. You're already worried about things that have never happened. This is why children are the happiest. They don't care what happened yesterday. They're not concerned about the future. They only enjoy today. So be with me today. I see 400 bodies, but I don't know where your hearts or your minds or your souls are. Let me show you my heart and treat it gently, and let me see yours. It's not my mouth that's speaking, because if it were, my words would go in one ear and not the other. So please be with me. Let's enjoy. Now, when you go through life, I don't care if it's tomorrow or next year, I want you to remember that when you're ready to do something, don't say, I'll do it tomorrow, because there is no tomorrow. Our Archbishop from Philadelphia, Cardinal Crowe, the late Cardinal Crowe, also came to for confirmation at our parish. He said basically the same thing. If you're going to be here, be with me, be with the Holy Spirit, with these children. There is no tomorrow. Nobody can guarantee us that we will be alive tomorrow. The ceiling could fall down, he said, and kill us all. God forbid. But be here with me. So I told the people there, I said, please remember these words. There was a young girl who wrote a beautiful poem. Turned out to be a poem. It was a letter to her boyfriend. And this happened many years ago. Let me read you that letter. This is my dear John. He says, remember the time that I invited you to come and dance to a dance, and I forgot to tell you that the dance was formal and you showed up in blue jeans? I thought you were going to yell at me, but you didn't. And remember the time I forced you to take me to the beach and shore so we could go swimming, and you said it was going to rain, and it did. I knew you were going to say, I told you so, but you didn't. And remember the time that I spilled ice cream and blueberry pie on your brand new car? I thought you were going to scream at me, but you didn't. And remember the time that I went out with other guys to make you jealous? I knew you were going to come and tell me, I'm going to leave you, but you didn't. Yes, there were many things that I did to embarrass you, to hurt you. So I made up my mind that I was going to make it all up to you when you came back from Vietnam, but you didn't. The only moment she had was when she was with him. This is why I'm asking you today, because this little boy that the mother brought at the letter only listened to me very attentively. The next day on Sunday afternoon, I received a phone call, and I picked it up, and this woman is crying. She says, I'm the woman who asked you if you allowed children to listen to you. Apparently my son listened to you so much that I owe you his life. He says, he's alive because of you, Tony. I said, no, not because of me. What happened? He says, this morning at 7 o'clock Mass, we always sit in the very back pew on the bench in the very back in case he gets restless, he wants to go outside or go to the bathroom. But this morning, because of what you said, he listened very attentively. And then, all of a sudden, as the priest is giving the homily, he turns to me and says, Mommy, there's something I have to tell you. Shh, wait till after Mass. Mommy, it's very important. I have to tell you now. Wait till the priest stops talking. Mommy, Tony said this is the only moment we have. So he says, I turn around and says, what is it? I know my father left you 3 years ago when I was 3 years old, and you've been struggling, taking care of me. Well, I want to tell you, Mother, I'm very proud of you, and I think you're very beautiful, and I love you very, very much. I had to tell you right now. And the little boy jumps and hugs his mother real tight and gives her a kiss right here on the cheek. At that precise moment, the exact moment when the little boy jumps up to hug and kiss his mother, a big, heavy chandelier right over the boy's head broke, and it came crashing down. And right where the boy was sitting, missing him by 1 inch, and they all fell to the ground, everybody screamed. The priest had to stop Mass to see if everything was safe, move the other people from under other chandeliers. And then, so she tells me, you saved his life. I says, I don't save lives. God saves lives. But apparently God has a plan for your son. This is your job from now until the day you die. Every moment that you spend with your son is a very precious moment. Talk to him, listen to him, encourage him. That was 15 years ago. Today, that little boy is in the seminary, about to be ordained as a priest. The question that I ask myself very seriously every once in a while when I think about it, what if I had told his mother, no, I don't want children to listen to me. They're very disruptive or they bother me. Would that boy be alive today? I don't know. But all I know, a wonderful thing happened that morning, and the greatness of God descended upon all of us. Let me briefly talk a little bit about myself, because if I were sitting there, and some of you have never seen me before, I would like to know who is this guy talking to you. I was born in South Texas of Mexican parents. Both my father and mother were from Mexico. And I have a Mexican name, as I said last night, some of you were here last night. It's not Tony Zuniga. If you were to read my baptismal record or my birth certificate, it's written Antonio Zaragoza Zuniga de las Casas de los Palacios. And as a friend of mine in Dallas, Texas, said, boy, what a name. If I could memorize it, Tony, and say it real loud and real fast after every meal, I don't need any dental floss to clean my teeth. I'm married to a beautiful lady from Nashville, Tennessee, by the name of Mamie Alice. Some of you have met her out there where I have my books. We have nine children, six boys and three girls, and eight grandchildren. And 2 years ago... in 1998, Mamie and I celebrated our 50th golden wedding anniversary. And our children threw us a surprise party to end all parties. People came from all over the world, from Spain, from Puerto Rico, Mexico, Canada, Hawaii, and across the United States. As Frank Sinatra would say, it was a blast. And we really enjoyed ourselves. My professional job has always been in radio, television, and communications. I worked 3 years for Pan American Airways when it was the world's largest airline in Brownsville, Texas, and in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Then I worked 10 years for the Lyndon B. Johnson, yes, the president of the United States. He had a whole stack of radio and TV stations in South Texas, and I operated and built some of them. In 1958, when my father and mother died, I told Mamie, I said, let's see where God needs me. And the Philco Corporation, I don't know whether you ever remember the old Philco Corporation from Philadelphia, offered me a job in South Korea. And I went to Korea for a period of a year and a half to 2 years installing television stations for the Army. Right after that, when I reported back to Philadelphia for my next assignment, they asked me if I wanted to work in Philadelphia. I said, it won't cost fly your family and your furniture. I said, why not? So I picked up the phone and I called Mamie. I said, start packing. We're moving to Philadelphia. And we've been there since 1959. 3 years later, the Ford Motor Company came and bought the Philco Corporation, and they moved it to the West Coast. They wanted me to come along. My family did not want to move, so then I joined the broadcasting company. My last job, 20 years, was with the NBC television station in Philadelphia, the largest TV station there. The first 10 years was with the Mike Douglas show. How many of you here ever heard of Mike Douglas? Yes? No? Mike Douglas was a talk show that he hosted movie stars and personalities. I think Bill Moore wrote in one of the pamphlets about me, he said he was there with all the saints and the sinners, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I got a chance to meet just about everybody you can think of. Most of the stars that I met are dead, like Yul Brynner, Lawrence Welk, Gene Autry, John Wayne, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, and some are still living. But I also had a chance to meet Mother Teresa of Calcutta, which taught me a big lesson, and I'll be talking about her tomorrow when I speak about stewardship. Also, I met the late Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, who became a good friend of mine, and he also taught me a big lesson about God the Father, and I'll be talking about him tomorrow when I speak about stewardship. After the Mike Douglas show came to an end and went into history, I was given a big promotion, a big raise, and a lot of responsibility. The Holy Father showed up in Philadelphia, and I was in charge of televising him. I had a lot of technicians, producers, directors. After he left there for a week, he gave me 100 medals that he blessed with his hands and told me to distribute them for my staff. What the Holy Father did not know was that 98% of my staff are Jewish and they could care less for the medals, so I kept them. So I gave them to my friends and I just kept two. One I gave to my wife Mamie and I kept one for myself. After that, because of my promotion, I got a lot of invitations to speak at communion breakfast, lunches, to the Knights of Columbus, the Blue Army, Legion of Mary, in schools, universities. I would begin to travel, and then it got out of hand. I couldn't control it. It was nonstop. And in Maryland, I spoke at West Point, at the United Nations in New York. I spoke in the Pentagon. And I mean, they were inviting me right and left. And finally, I went to see my spiritual director because miracles were happening right in front of my eyes. A woman who was blind all of a sudden recovered her sight. Another woman, another young man who couldn't speak, all of a sudden he's talking. And I couldn't understand it. So my spiritual director said, Tony, apparently God is leading you in a new direction. Don't be afraid. Hold on to his hand and let him take you wherever he wants to. It's going to be scary, but God knows you better than anyone else in the world. Well, I asked God in my own way if I was supposed to do this for the rest of my life to show me how to do it. And God answers prayer. You know that, and I know it. But not when we want him to answer it, not how we want him to answer it, because I had an accident at home. I came tumbling down the steps. I thought I broke my neck. What happened? I couldn't get up. And I broke my tailbone, my coccyx bone. It was shattered in a million pieces. And the sacrum bone right above next to the spine also was cracked. I couldn't walk. I suffered for 4 months in torture, in agony. Mamie doesn't even want to remember those 4 months. And then I began to talk to God, and God was telling me I need to forgive. And there was a family in California I didn't want to forgive. Finally, I humbled myself before God, and I asked forgiveness. We cried, we prayed, we forgave each other, and then it happened. I'll describe it the way it happened, the way I still remember it. But I was thrown out of the bed onto the floor, and people who interview me on radio and television, wait, Tony, hold it. What threw you out of us? I have no idea. Maybe it was my guardian angel. Maybe it was God himself. All I know is that my body was picked up and dropped. Not a very heavy man, and when I hit the floor, hardwood floor, the first thought that hit me, besides yelling and screaming, I was scared, I didn't know what was happening. The first thing I said was, if it wasn't broken before, it's really shattered now. And then I'm concerned about how to get back on the bed because I didn't want Mamie to find me thinking I had a heart attack. So when I stretched my arm slowly towards the bed, nothing hurt. And I said, wait a minute, what's happening here? So I pushed on the floor and lived up and down, and nothing's hurting. I said, God, you're beginning to scare me. So then I put my hand underneath, and I began to feel and touch. And before this, I couldn't. Nobody could get near me. It was so sensitive, so tender, so painful. And all of a sudden, I'm hitting myself, and nothing's hurting. I said, God, you're scaring me. Is this supposed to be a miracle? And this time, I heard a voice, a clear voice, audible voice. He says, why don't you get up and walk? And I answered the voice, it better not hurt. So I sat up and I jumped up, and I'm like a little kid at Christmas hitting myself in the back. I don't believe it. I know miracles happen, but not to Tony and not now. Maybe 2,000 years ago they happened. So I ran up and down the steps, and I'm completely healed. When Mamie came from school, I think she was in college at the time with my daughter, they were shocked. They says, what happened? I says, so I told them, and they said, you're making it up. I said, well, you want to hit me? So we went to see the doctor. The doctor wanted to operate and take the whole tailbone out. They say they do those operations once in a while. But he looked at the x-rays again. He took an x-ray, and there wasn't a crack in there. There was an instantaneous healing. So, thank you. So then I asked God, I said, what does this mean? Why did I have the accident? Why did I suffer for 4 months? And why was I healed instantaneously? A month later, I was invited to go to California and speak to a large corporation. The man who invited me, a Mexican by the name of Henry Gonzalez, was very happy with the two-day conference, and then he takes me out to dinner. It was at this restaurant in downtown Los Angeles that I told him about my miraculous healing a month before. And his eyes get big and bigger. He says, maybe you came for another reason, Tony. I said, what are you talking about? He said, maybe you came to heal my sister. I said, your sister? What's wrong with your sister? He said, she's dying of cancer. I said, hold it. Nope. I said, I don't want to get involved. I said, I wouldn't even know what to do, how to pray, what to say. We were in that restaurant 4 hours, and he's crying and begging and pleading. He said, she's very young. She's 33 years old, and she's got 30 days left to live. Please come and see her. Talk. I said, what will I say? Why don't you let God take over and let him tell you what to do? So after 4 hours and 40 cups of coffee, and the waitress threatening to throw us out, I decided that maybe he was right, so I went to see her. And I talked to her alone. Her name was Rosie. She was a Mexican beauty, to end all beauties. I've seen many beautiful women in my life. She wanted to see the world. She could have been a movie star, but she wanted to see the world, so she became a teacher in Germany, teaching children of American servicemen. And it was there that she fell in love with a German man. She married him. They have two little girls. One was 9 years old and the other one was 11. And then 5 years before, later, or after, when he was telling me 5 years before that, they divorced, and she didn't want to talk about her divorce. A year later, she got real sick. She went to see an American doctor in Germany, in Munich, and they found out she had a cancer in her ovaries, an ovarian cancer. It was malignant. It was out of control, and it was spreading throughout her whole body. So they sent her home to die. She had 30 days left. And with this, in my mind, I'm supposed to go see her, find out what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, we're going to have to stop there, even though it's absolutely riveting to find out what is going to happen next with Tony and this beautiful Mexican beauty. But make sure that you tune in next week for the rest of the story. But we've just gone over 3 o'clock, so we're going to do the Divine Mercy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and was thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your Lord Jesus Christ in atonement for our sins. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Family Life International, and the pregnancy centre has been rebranded at the moment, and it's called Gianna's Choice Pregnancy Centre. So go online and have a look at that new branding, Gianna's Choice Pregnancy Centre. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more next week about why it's called Gianna's Choice. Well, actually, just very quickly, after St. Gianna Molla, who died, mother of four, and she died heroically, so she's one of the saints of the church. So we have named our pregnancy centre after her. So if you like these talks that we always use from the various conferences over the last, obviously, nearly 20 years, they can be brought from, or ordered, I should say, from Marian Tape Ministries. So if you want to order any, you can get them from Peter and Olga Cornwall. It's Park Avenue, Northcote, I think number 10 off the top of my head. But I'll have the details for you next week. I have absolutely loved them, been going to the conferences for the last 25 years, and I have just learnt so much, really, about my faith through their ministry, or apostolate, I should say. Wonderful people, and I'm very fortunate that their son and my daughter met up and married, so that's a double bonus. Okay, we're going to end the program, not with my usual, but we'll go out with that very cheery song that my son Liam composed.
Wake in the morning, all the clouds are far beyond ten. The glass reflects my smile. Lift the blinds and all the lashes round the night room.